Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
I tell you what, man, he's a literal titan across the entire media landscape.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome in to another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. You have made us the biggest podcast in the world. Mikey A, you look like you're in a place that I've never seen you before, and I'm certainly in a place you've never seen me before. What is going on? what happened to me?
I came down to Florida to see you, and you went up to New York. What the hell?
Well, you came to the west coast of Florida, Mike. It's 3.5 hours away from my house, but closer to my house than the studios down at South Beach. How about that? What I just said to people is I live in South Florida, and the west coast of South Florida is closer to my house than where Dan makes me drive every day to do the goddamn radio show. I mean, it's unbelievable. Oh, my God. What are you doing in Tampa? Oh, God. Don't tell me you went to the Islander game, did you?
I came down and I went to the Islander game wearing Islander stuff, and they lost 8-0. And when I tell you, I was ready to... I went in there with such a buzz. I had my brother and my nephew with me. They're both big goons. I'm like, we're going to... And there's so many Islander fans in Tampa. We walked in. We were ready to, like... We were just get rowdy, and it was 1-0 in 45 seconds.
And it was... And then it was 8-0.
And then it was 8-0. And I walked out with my head down low. And I got... I mean, people in Tampa, they're just so used to it. They're like, well, try again next time. Thanks, yeah, buddy.
It's Tidal Town. Let me tell you something. That fucking Kucherov shit, that is... Listen, Tampa, I'm telling you right now, you win the Stanley Cup, it will not be a Stanley Cup in my personal record book. You do not get to go without your best player the entire regular season. Rest him, and then for salary cap reasons, some lame rule in hockey, all of a sudden you're getting the weight... The modern-day Wayne Gretzky is back in your lineup. I mean, the guy had 3 assists and an 8-0 win. He's one of the best players in hockey. And so what I'm telling you is, in my personal record book, if the Lightning win a Stanley Cup championship this year, it won't count in my personal record book. But, Mike, that's an embarrassment. You go down there, you're dressed in Islander gear, you're all fired up for the game, you're coming off a big emotional victory in Game 4, knowing Game 5 is... Did you wear a mask? Because I promise you, no one else in Tampa is wearing a fucking mask. No, I haven't been wearing a mask in a year.
It was absolutely just completely different. When you're in Connecticut and you have to, like, drive with a mask on, you know, even if you're by yourself, and then I walk into an arena and everybody's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, nobody is wearing a mask.
Yeah, you're sharing. Hey, can I get a sip of your beer?
Guys coughing in my face. Hey, how you doing?
So it's been jarring my way, because down in Florida, we've been open during the entire pandemic. I mean, you would not know there was a pandemic down there. It's why everyone moved down there. It's why The housing market is on fire down there. People just want to move down there because the rules are different. And now I'm up in New York, and I'm like, oh, this is the way it's supposed to be. Okay? It's like people are still taking this thing seriously, as we should, yes. You know?
My wife packed, I think, 40 masks for all of us. And basically, I think we've used, like, two. Because in New York you get dirty looks when you're not wearing a mask. In Florida, you're getting dirty looks. Like, why is that person wearing a mask?
The 40 masks that you and your wife bought are more than the entire Tampa area has. Congratulations. You and your wife have more masks than all of Tampa combined.
Okay? Honestly, I've just been using them to mop up sweat from under my arms. Because I got to tell you, man, I've been sitting in ball soup since I got here.
I told you, dude. Like, listen, ball soup. What's the matter with you? Seriously, ball soup. And the hotel room you're in is so Tampa right now. It's got like flamingo colors.
This is my father's house.
Oh. Stupidity. I mean, who was your dad, John Nods? Who was your dad, Sonny Crockett? I mean...
Listen, my dad moved down here and took all the furniture from our old house, so it's all like the 80s stuff from our house in New York.
Does it have plastic over it?
No, those guys. But I mean, No,
that's where I draw the line.
No, that's where we draw the line, yeah.
Pink fine, orange fine, plastic, no.
Oh, yeah, no, that's amazing. You got flamingos behind you. My father's house.
It's my dad's. Stupidity. Keep some of that. I thought Mike was staying in some cheesy West Coast Tampa fucking hotel because that's what his background looks like, and it's his dad's house.
I mean, I'm not turning.
I feel horrible. I fucking feel dumb. Tell your dad I'm sorry, but I'm not. Mike, was that some sort of Ric Flair doll I saw? You were panning around the house, showing me the house. Is that a Ric Flair doll I saw in the background there?
That was my kid.
Stupidity.
Bring on Michael K.
Just quickly, Mikey A., now that you spent time in Tampa, do you now realize like why I maintain Gronk should have spent his entire career in Tampa? It's the best place ever.
I mean, the guy is Tampa. He is Tampa personified.
Stu Gatz here from my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. Listen, for me, it's simple. When I'm sitting around with friends, with family, we're at concerts, we're watching the Knicks finally win for the first time in 30 years, we're laughing, we're having a great time, we do it with ice cold Miller Lights. Always have, always will. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Oh my gosh. Folks, gather around. Everyone gather around. Listen to these words. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And if you're new to DraftKings, you gotta check this out. New customers, listen to me. You bet just $5 to get 150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code Dan. That's code Dan for new customers. And you get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's insane. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Very excited to have Michael Kay with us here on Stupidity, the voice of the New York Yankees, Yankee broadcaster, ESPN New York sports radio personality, does the afternoon shows, and host of Yes Network Center Stage, has a new book, Center Stage, My Most Fascinating Interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z. Book is already out. It's available wherever you purchase your books. Mike, the most nervous you've been for an interview. I love Center Stage. It's fantastic. But I am wondering, the most nervous Michael Kay has ever been for an interview on Center Stage?
It was probably the Mike Tyson interview, because there were times that he was so emotional on stage that I thought he was going to hit me. So that got a little nervous. And people were like sitting on the edge of their seats. And, you know, he was crying. He was laughing. You know, he'd go between happy and sad. And when I asked him about his tattoo on his face, he looked like he was going to punch me. So I was a little nervous then, to tell you the truth.
Is that the most nervous you've been? Like, period, flat out? Like because we've had Tyson on our show before, me and Lebatard, and I'm telling you, it's an emotional roller coaster with Mike, where one second he's happy, and the next second you swear he's on a plane coming down to kill you. And so, was that the most nervous you've been?
You know, just nervous in terms of, like, you know, my physical well-being. Other guys, you know, you get a little butterflies. You know, I had some butterflies, obviously, with Paul Simon, because I'm such a fan of his work, and You know, Adam Sandler, although Adam Sandler is certainly disarming in the way he is, but, you know, these people that we've had on, they're huge stars. So you don't want to mess it up. So you have butterflies, but I don't think I was nervous except for, you know, Tyson hitting me.
Mike, you're a huge star. So I imagine some people sit down that, well, Mike, no, you are, because you're the voice of the Yankees. You have a great afternoon show on ESPN Radio in New York, and you're a massive star. And so I imagine there are people who have sat down and like, holy shit, I'm sitting right across from Michael Kay. Like, have you felt that before?
I have never, ever, ever in my life, ever, ever, ever felt never once.
Mike, someone's had to sit down there who's just like a massive Yankee fan who wanted to meet you. Like, there has to be somebody.
Well, yeah.
You're being humble here.
If there was like a fan we pulled out of the audience, maybe they'd be a little bit, but I don't think like Sylvester Stallone was sitting there and go, oh my God, I'm sitting with Michael Kay. No, I don't think any of them get nervous.
Oh, that's so great. Center Stage, My Most Fascinating Interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z. The book is out now. Who's the person Michael Kay sat down to interview and was like, holy shit, I can't believe this person is sitting across from me?
It was probably Paul Simon, because Paul Simon walked out with a guitar.
Oh, man.
Came out on stage, and I said, well, that's probably maybe a pacifier or, you know, a prop. And he put it next to the big chair, and we're doing the show. And, like, I sit maybe, like, 2 feet away from the guest, and then he's answering questions about certain songs, like, why did you use Joe DiMaggio and not Mickey Mantle and Mrs. Robinson? And then he picks up the guitar and starts like going through each line and why he did it. And I'm sitting there looking at him, and it's hard to concentrate, because if you're going to do a good interview, you have to listen to the answer. And I'm just like daydreaming. I'm sitting this close to Paul Simon. Like, if the world goes on another 5,000 years, Paul Simon's music is still going to be really important. And by the way, the answer to that question was syllables. He said,
wait, Mike, so it's interesting what you just brought up, because Michael Kay with us. Dan Patrick once was on with me and Lebatard, and right when we were starting out our radio show, and we were asking him the keys to doing a good interview. And he said, guys, the simplest advice I can give you, it's easy. Just listen. Listen to what it is your guest is saying. Don't just go to the next question. And so, Mike, it sounds like such a simple lesson to say, hey, just listen, but easier said than done when Paul Simon's sitting next to you playing the guitar, right?
It is. I agree with Dan, and so many great interviewers that are considered great interviewers, they have list of questions, right? And then you'll hear like the guy that they're interviewing go, and by the way, before I got here, I was actually abducted by aliens, and I spent 3 days in a ship. And they go, well, what happened on your next movie? I mean, they just, I mean, So, I mean, you can really make yourself look bad if you don't listen. But, yeah, you obviously people should listen. Because when we do center stage, we have like a skeleton that we put together. It's eight segments of how we want, you know, the interview to go and with questions and everything. But I know I've done a decent job when I don't use most of the questions. So you just have to listen and go off of the answers. That's the best way to do it.
Abducted by aliens. But what about that butt in the fourth inning? Wait, so that's interesting. So you feel like, because I'm totally with you, like if Dan and I don't get to most of our questions, those usually turn out to be the best interviews that we've done. You feel the same way?
Absolutely, because that means that the guest took you down a path that wasn't predictable. Because most of these people that we're interviewing, they're really, really well known. I'm trying to get the arc of their life in an hour. So if I don't get to the questions that I have, that means that they went somewhere that they'd never gone before. Because, you know, every time we book a guest, they send me like 700-800 pages of research. So you really do a lot of homework on these people and you know everything about them. And if they go somewhere else, that's great. That's what I want.
So you host your radio show with two guys, Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg. Which one listens? Who's the worst listener of the two?
I think it's Peter.
ADD, right? Oh, I mean, all over the place. I mean,
Peter is actually, you know, he's got so many things going on in his life. He's sending out, like, stuff on his album. And, like, I could say, we just know if Peter needs a break, just go to a baseball guest, and then Peter's gone. So that's
Michael K. with us, his new book. Go ahead, Mikey. Yeah, you got something?
We have a lot of guests on the show, and I have ones I call trust me interviews where I try and get somebody to listen, and I'm like, just trust me, listen to this one. What's the one interview you had where you were like, if I could get anybody to listen to any of these, just listen to this one?
You know what? I think it would be Larry David. Larry David was so great. And, you know, obviously you guys asked me about nervousness. I was really anxious about that one because he's so smart and so funny. And I didn't know if I was going to get Larry from Curb where he'd be nasty too. And real life Larry is kind of like Larry from Curb, but somewhat less mean. And just from that interview, and I thought he was hilarious and funny and all of that, we've become like, not name dropping, we've kind of become friends where he'll text me during Yankee games. Why did Boone take out Chad Green? I don't understand it. As the game's going on, I'm doing play by play. I look down at my phone and I could hear it in his voice. So, I mean, the whole show was like that. And so many people have come up and told me, I love the Larry David show. So that would be the one I'd say, yeah, definitely listen to that one.
I've heard that he has gone out during stand-up and he's walked out and looked at the crowd and said, this isn't going to work out, and he's left the stage and just didn't do a set. So I would be nervous that he might even just not do the interview. He'd walk out and just, you know, look at what you're wearing or something and go, no, I don't want to do this interview and leave.
He could definitely do that, and this is the perfect Larry story, all right? So we do the interview on center stage. A year later, he calls me up. He says, I got to do a speech at Emerson College because my daughter goes there, and I promised him I would do it. I said, oh, that sounds like fun. He goes, no, it's not fun at all. He goes, I hate being on stage alone. He said, so here's what I want. Would you drive to Boston and recreate center stage with me on the stage? I said, yeah, okay. So I drove up. We did like an hour and a half, and that was kind of great. And then like every time like a new season of Curb comes out, they have a big premiere at the 92nd Street Y in New York. And so he asked me to come host it. So I do it. I love doing it. I'm flattered that he does it. So I put the book together. And I want to get two forwards in the book. I want Bob Costas, who actually wrote the forward, and I want Larry David. Now, we're friends, and I don't consider doing anything for a friend a favor, but I've driven to Boston for him. I run out of my radio show to go do a two-hour event at the Y, all on the arm, which is what a friend does, right? And Bob Costas said, yes, absolutely. Send me the galleys. I'll read it. He wrote a great forward. And the other forward, I asked Larry, and he calls up and he goes, yeah, I'm not going to do it. And that was it. It was like, classic Larry David. I said, why? He goes, nah, I don't think so. And I thought he was
an asshole.
But he said, no, I'm not going to do it.
That is amazing. Are you mad? Were you mad? Were you upset?
I was a little chapped. Yeah. A little bit.
It seems so. Yeah.
But, you know, we're going back and forth on text, and he's, like, giving me the reasons why. And, like, the text was, like, you know, 20 minutes. And I said, you know, the time that you just took to like explain all this, you could have written a forward.
This could be the forward.
Great idea. She said, you know what you should do? I said, what? She goes, just print the whole text exchange as the forward. But I didn't want to do that.
Being friends with Larry David seems exhausting.
You definitely have to play by his rules.
And Michael, don't look now. Larry David's an example of someone who's excited to meet Michael Kay. Okay? You don't think somebody's texting you during games. How often does that happen where people are texting you, celebrities are texting you during games?
Not often.
Because everyone loves the Yankees.
I don't think anything excites Larry like that, for sure.
Michael Kay is with us here on Stupidity. The great Michael Kay. His new book, Center Stage. His most fascinating interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z. It is out right now. The guest you thought would be bad but turned out to be great.
Oh.
You have one of those? Yeah.
I don't know if we've had that. I mean, there have been guests I thought would be great that were awful.
Give us one of
Dennis
those.
Dennis Quaid was the worst interview we've ever done. It was unbelievable. You know,
really?
He came in, and, you know, when you commit to Center Stage, it's like an hour and a half commitment, you know, with makeup and then sitting down doing the show. And for some reason, he came there thinking it was an eight-minute interview. Like he was on Regis and Kelly. And, you know, his publicist then told him, no, no, it's an hour. So he was chapped right away. He sits down on stage, first two segments, it's an 8-segment show. Yes, no, yes, no. All the answers, yes and no. And so after the second segment, I lean over to him at the commercial. I said, hey, listen, the show's an hour, whether you yes and no it or not. I said, I got thousands of questions. I said, at the end of it, you're going to look bad. I'll be fine. So you decide how you want this to go. And he was like startled that somebody would talk to him like that. And he picked it up, but it was still an absolute train wreck show. And I watch him now, like I see him on The Tonight Show or Kimmel. And he's a really good guest in 8 minutes, but over an hour, not good.
Imagine talking to Tyson like that.
Yeah, that I wouldn't have said that to Mike. He would have yelled at me for an hour. I would have been fine.
Michael, you've had so many great guests over the years, and so I'm wondering, who's the guy, who's the person that you haven't had on Center Stage that you're dying to get on Center Stage?
My white whale would be Springsteen, Billy Joel, and Jerry Seinfeld. Springsteen's people said he doesn't like to do long form interviews.
He does a show on Broadway.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? He gets paid for that.
Yes, that's true. That's a good point. What do they pay for Center Stage? Anything?
I think they give you a Yankee jacket. They do give you a Yankee
jacket. It's all small.
I'm surprised we can't get Jerry because he's really close with Larry. And Larry has obviously had a good experience on the show. And the only thing I can think is that Jerry's such a big Met fan. Maybe he doesn't want to go on the Yes Network, or maybe I should get Gary Cohen to fill in for me for one show.
Center Stage, my most fascinating interviews. Michael, I want to ask you here. It's available wherever you buy your books. I want to ask you here because I followed your career, most of your career, growing up in New York. And so I'm just wondering, like, Mike, you grew up a big Yankee fan, Michael, growing up. And so I've always wondered, what was it like for you growing up as a Yankee fan and then going into the booth for that first game? If you could take us through the emotional ride of your first game, calling your first game for the New York Yankees, having grown up as a Yankee fan, I've always been interested in what that was like for you.
Well, I grew up and, you know, I knew, John, that I was awful as a baseball player early. So at 9 years old, I told my parents I wanted to be the Yankee announcer. And they were actually receptive, but they always kept telling me, well, make sure you have a fallback, because they realized how unlikely it was.
So, my parents said the same to me, Michael. Yes.
It's a spark. So the first game ever was 1992. It was the Yankees against the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium. And it was Scott Sanderson against Roger Clemens. Scott Sanderson for the Yankees. And I remember walking into the booth and taking a deep breath and feeling like I had to go to the bathroom. I mean, my heart was beating. And I sit down next to John and I'm writing down my lineup card. And you know, you're thinking about, wow, I can't believe this is really happening. And you just think somebody's going to pull the plug on your dream that it's all a fantasy. But it was real. Stadium's jammed. Looks great. Beautiful day. And with about 30 seconds to air, John Sterling turns to me and said, As you embark on this new career, I have two bits of advice for you. And I said, oh, this is great. Talk from my sternum, you know, the whole deal, you know, how to project my voice. He goes, never ask me my age on the air. And I talk to myself quite often, please don't be alarmed. And the engineer goes, you're on. And that was the beginning of my broadcast.
Very comforting words from Sterling. Hey, don't, Mike, you got this. Good luck. Don't worry about it. You're going to be great. Not just I talk to myself. Don't be alarmed.
But you know what? Those are really good bits of advice because John, in the 10 years I've worked with him, when I was doing like the play-by-play, he would do the color, obviously, but he would turn to the side, right? And he would have a running dialogue with no one. And if he had not warned me that he spoke to himself, I would have freaked out. But it became a thing that there were three people in the booth, but I never met the third person.
But you still feel like you're living out a dream, oh, right? Like this is like every day you head to the stadium. It's pinch me moments, right?
Every single day. I mean, I'm not being corny about it. I walk in that booth every day and I go, this. And the amazing thing, John, it's 30 years now. And it's gone by in an eye blink. People look at me and say, Michael, you look like you're 15 years old. How can it be 30 years? But I don't look 15. That was just a joke. You were supposed to laugh. But
sorry, Mike.
No. 30 years. I can't believe it's gone by. And every single day, I appreciate it. I never take it for granted. And I know that it could be taken away at any moment. One slip of the tongue, one somebody changes their mind. I get that. But even if it ends tomorrow, 30 years is pretty cool.
Great run. Better feeling, that first game you called or beating Mike Francesa in afternoon drive?
You know what? I got to tell you, it might be beating Francesa.
I think it is. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm honest. I mean, the Yankee thing was so exciting and it was a thrill. But in turn, you know, every day is a thrill. But that day when that book came in and we beat him and he had just been so nasty about us and so dismissive, it was I had to take a shower afterward feeling.
Oh, wow. That's great. Do you have a good Francesa story of Mike just being Mike, like just being an ass?
Well, I do. I've never told this.
I had just
gotten the radio show. So it was like when the Yes Network started and it was 20 years ago and I was at Madison Square Garden. And listen, the show was at 10 in the morning from 10 to 1. I was in their competition and Mike and Chris were at the Garden, and I was at the Garden because I used to do pre and post for the Knicks. And I just walked up to them and I said, listen, I'm starting, you know, this talk show. You guys have any advice? Well, why would I give you any advice? You're a competitor. I wouldn't, I'm not giving you any advice. He walked away. And that you know, I give him credit. You know, Russo went into this whole thing and told me, you know, the whole deal, which was right. Great. But Mike just, why would I give you any advice? You work for another station. You're a competitor. I said, okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You did okay without his advice, though.
It took a while,
Russo's advice must have been good.
It took a while.
It did. But that was weird. Like, you grew up listening. Well, you didn't grow up listening to them. I grew up listening to them. ESPN New York was not around when I was growing up as a kid. So they were, like, for many people, that's the place you went to. 1 to 6 o'clock to get reaction to the big game the night before, or just what's going on in New York sports. So I'm certain at some level, at some point, like, you were a fan of those two, and then to actually go out there and beat them had to feel amazing. Had to feel great.
Well, I never ended up beating Mike and Chris because when they were together, we were actually on all AM signal. But then when Mike kept dominating, even after Chris went to Sirius XM, and we played with the business. There are a lot of things against us for sure. You know, I had the Yankees on their station. We had a very bad signal, so we went to FM. They had their heritage station, and it took a long, long time. But when we finally, and the fact that we did it right before he got out, because I could sense it was happening over the last 2 years. We kept coming really, really close, and whether you counted streaming or not, we had been beating him for 2 years. But I just wanted to get it done before he walked away for good. And then when we did that, that was a big deal. And I know, although I have great respect for the career that he had, that bothers him. He could say it doesn't because he's been asked, right? Well, 60 to 1, you know, I'll take 60. Yeah, but the last inning was ours. So that's the one that is with you.
Michael, you have pride and you have ego. We all do in this business. Some of us too much. But Same with me. When Dan and I set out, I remember the competing radio station. It was WQIM. Same situation. Heritage radio station down in Miami. Dan and I set out to do a show. The first couple of weeks we were on the air, I remember the GM calling us. He said what we were doing was sissy boy sports radio. And then 18 months later, we had 12 shares and we were kicking everyone's ass. Wow. And so and it felt great. And so and that's the only reason I brought it up, because I know how hard you guys worked to climb that mountain. They had a 25-year head start on you guys. So I know how hard you worked to climb that mountain. And I was super happy when you did it.
After we did it, though. Now we've got to take on Carton, who's doing great. Yep. So, I mean, always a new challenge. Yep. And, you know, I've been asked this a lot. So I feel more pressure with Carton than I did with Francesa, because with Francesa, we were the little engine that could. Nobody expected us to beat him. But now we were in first place when Carton came, and Carton's made great inroads and has beaten us in a lot of weeks. And it's just, you know, he's a really good radio talent.
He's fantastic. He's super talented. Plus, you know he's going to work hard. Mike was mailing it in at the end. You know Carton ain't mailing it in, man. He is out to get you.
Mike. Oh, no. This means the world to Craig. And, you know, obviously he's had a situation. Yeah. And I'm glad that everything's going well in his life. But it's going
to
be a battle.
A bit of an open-ended
really
question, but I think it will make sense to you. Is LaGreca going to be okay? Like, just in general, no one can get this mad about so many things.
The one thing that's weird is that most people think it's all you know, made up.
Oh, I know it's not.
It's not, because if it was made up, he'd do it more, because it gets so much, you know, he really gets angry. And like, when you see his face turn like beet red, I worry about him, because he's not in the best of shape, but I think he's going to be all right.
Okay, good. I read Robert De Niro was at your wedding. Is that
absolutely untrue? As somebody,
really,
fake news.
Okay, I mean, I saw it on Wikipedia. I think, because I was going to say it'd be hard to make it your wife's day if Robert De Niro's at the wedding.
It was weird because we had the wedding at the Plaza Hotel, so there were a lot of like Yankees there, and my uncle Danny Aiello, the late Danny Aiello, was there. That was a, if you want to say a famous person, but throughout the night, Sterling was there. And Sterling was getting inebriated and more, and would walk outside to smoke. And there was a New York Post reporter, and who knows what gibberish John was giving him, because we had that Steven Tyler perform, not true. Robert De Niro is there, not true. All of that was not true. I just wonder where they got it. It was amazing. And then, like, the New York Post called and asked if they could have a picture from the wedding that they could run. And we said, okay. And the next day they ran it right now. I don't know if you know my wife. My wife is a really beautiful woman. I'm really lucky. And they run a picture of us, her in her gown, me in the tux. And the headline was Beauty and the Beast. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
You know what? You should have just sent them a headshot of Robert De Niro.
Yeah. Kicking the cubes. It was unbelievable. Like, Joel Sherman's a friend of mine, the guy who writes for the Post. And he got really angry. That was he said, this guy gives you a wedding picture and you essentially call him ugly? You got to take down that headline. They wouldn't take down the headline. He was really, really ticked off at them.
Were you ticked off?
I mean, I'm no oil painting, but I don't know if I'm a beat.
Oil painting. Wait, so was Sterling, did you find Sterling later in the night at your wedding just talking to himself in a corner?
He was wandering around. He was so happy. He was definitely feeling something, I'll tell you that.
Who was the most famous person at your wedding, if you don't mind me asking?
Let's see. Tino Martinez was there, and Carol Strawberry, and a lot, Joe Girardi, a lot of the Yankees, Paul O'Neill. Brian Williams was there. And you know who married me? And I didn't know that. I'll just leave it at Rudy Giuliani was the officiant.
Oh man, do you regret that?
Well, I'm wondering if we can edit the tape, but I mean, it's funny. I mean, no disrespect at all, but maybe some.
Right.
I was showing, we have very young children, 6 and 8. So I was showing them the wedding album, and you know, there's a picture of Rudy marrying us. And Jody walks by me and she goes, yeah, that didn't age well. And she kept walking. So it's weird. And when I saw him in front of that, you know, crematorium in the pawn shop, that did make the wedding that great at that point.
Center stage, my most fascinating interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z. The book is out right now. purchase it wherever you get your books. We'll get you out of here in just a second here. Michael, your all-time, I'd be interested because there's so many choices. I was having this conversation with a friend just the other day because I'm Stugatz and these are the things I talk about. If I were to ask you, give me your all-time Yankee rotation, okay? Four starters, we know who the closer is going to be. You have to go four starters. Who is Michael K going with? It's tough.
Is it people I've seen or like can I should I include Whitey Ford?
You can include Whitey Ford, whoever you want.
I would say Whitey Ford, Ron Guidry, Andy Pettit. And you know what? It'd be real tough to choose between David Cone and El Duque. Because wow. They're both like big game pitchers and they could win.
Yes.
But it would be a combination of those five, I guess, just off the top of my head. Who would you pick?
Well, I'd go David Cone, a big game pitcher. Ron Guidry was, so I was at the Twins game where Guidry, what he struck out, like 16 or 17 that day? It was
18.
Was
like dad, 18.
Right? 18, right. So I love Ron Guidry. So he would be in there just because, you know, just because I loved him growing up. Guidry, Cone, I think David Wells might go in there for me. Like, yeah, just big game stuff. El Duque, certainly, and then I think Andy Pettit. You have to go Andy Pettit,
yeah.
Like big game pitcher, right?
And you know what? We're leaving out Roger Clemens, too. And Roger was like 20-2 with them 1 year.
I mean, we're leaving out a ton of guys.
Leaving out Sabathia, leaving out, I mean, yeah, a lot of guys we're leaving out.
We're leaving out Lefty Gomez, who is a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, you go back down.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you're putting Pettit El Duque in there just because, and David Cone's a Hall of Fame pitcher, so it doesn't matter. But those are big game pitchers. That's why you're choosing those guys, right?
Absolutely. Right. And you know what? Yeah. Andy Pettit was he's just a great pitcher overall. And you're right, leaving out Sabathia. I mean, there's some Messina. Tough calls. Leaving out Scott Kamenicki, that's not easy.
Kamenicki.
Steve Klein.
All right, who are the worst Yankee pitchers of all time?
I won't go there.
I know you won't go there. We're going to get you out of here, Michael. We're going to play a quick game with you. Center Stage, new book, my most fascinating interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z. Quick game here. K or nay? All right, K or nay? Peeing in the shower, K or nay?
Okay.
Good. Yeah. Right. Well, if you're doing it in the shower, I'm assuming you're doing it in the pool. K or nay?
No, because my kids go in the pool. So, if I didn't have kids, maybe K, but right now, nay.
Okay. Not returning a wallet you found on the floor. K or nay?
Well, you got to give me more info. Is there money in it?
Yeah, there's cash. There is money in it, yes. There's enough money to tempt you to not give it back, Michael.
I'd give it.
Reclining your seat on a daytime flight. K or nay?
K.
Exactly. Yeah. Mike, I'm not Mikey A. I'm not even certain why you put this one in there. You like, why would you not recline your seat, especially you, Mikey A?
Because if you recline in front of me, I'm done. Look at me, I'm done. My tray table's not going down.
Getting the wrong change and keeping the extra, K or nay?
Oh, definitely K.
Yeah, that a boy.
Yeah.
Picking off someone's plate while they are away from their plate, K or nay?
What do you mean picking it up? I don't get it.
So you're at dinner with Larry David. He gets up to go to the bathroom. There are a couple of fries hanging out there, and you just start picking away at his plate.
Nay. I would do it to my wife, nay. But not somebody else.
Okay. Running up the score, K or nay?
Nay.
Having pitchers being checked for sticky stuff, K or nay?
Way nay.
Way
nay. Could have been done during the offseason.
Exactly right. Farting on an airplane. I'm embarrassed to ask you this, K or nay?
Am I in distress? Or is
yes.
You know, if I'm in distress, it's got to be K. If I'm doing it just to annoy people, it's nay.
All right, Michael, we're going to get you out of here. Check out his new book, Center Stage. My most fascinating interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z. The book is out right now. You can purchase it wherever you get your books. How was Jay-Z when he was on with you, by the way?
Phenomenal. I mean, really, yeah. You could see why he is who he is. He's smart. He's funny. He gets it. His fans love him. He was amazing. I came away, like, blown away by how sharp he was and how amazingly hooked into everything, and he knows everything about everything. He's a really bright guy.
And A-Rod? A-Rod was great.
A-Rod we had in 2003, so it was before the world turned, and we included in the book, because you could read between the lines and almost foreshadow some of the stuff that was going to happen to him. But I like Alex. Obviously, he's got a lot of demons, but back then it was all clean and happy and no problems whatsoever.
Who's the smart person that realized that you had A-Rod and Jay-Z and got that? Because that is just a perfect thing to get. A-Rod to Jay-Z. Was it you?
I got to tell you, that was me. It really was me.
Nice.
It blew the publisher away. That was
because that's awesome. All right, and as a fellow Fordham guy, what's the go-to on Arthur Ave?
You know what? I like Enzo's a lot. I like that a lot. And also, there's one that's really classy. Like if you really want to go on a classy date, I forget the name of that one. It's not on Arthur Avenue. It's on the other street. But I always go to Enzo's. How about you?
I mean, I lived at Tino's. I was less than Stugatz when I went to Fordham, but Tino's did all this.
Wow.
And White Castle.
Rigoletto de Pasquale is really good. And I have a White Castle story too. So like when I'm at Fordham, obviously I'm absolutely broke. Every time I go on a date, I ask the girl if she wanted to go to dinner, and she goes, where are we going to go? I go, La Chateau Blanc. She thought it was a restaurant, and we walked into White Castle.
That's amazing. Mike, I have a suggestion for you, okay? Please try to do this. Can you ask Francesca to be a guest on Center Stage?
We have.
Come on.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I've got stones. If I got one thing, he would not do it. We've had Russo really? On. He would not do it.
So I would figure that Russo would absolutely bring out my Francesca because he'd be jealous that Russo
was there. Russo was great, but I was on Russo's show last week, and Russo's like really insulted that he didn't make the book.
Oh, wow.
He said, I thought we did a great interview. I said, you did. He goes, well, how am I not in the book? I said, well, the publisher didn't think that you had national appeal, and he was really hurt.
Dog, he'll get over it. And listen, Michael, feel free to have me on Center Stage whenever you want.
Love to. You know what? It would be a good one.
It would be a good one. I promise you. I guarantee you I would give you great content. Yep. Michael, thank you for doing this. Good luck with the book. I look forward to checking it out. It seems pretty fascinating.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Mike, you realize when we were doing all-time starting rotation for the New York Yankees, we left out a guy who threw two perfect games in a fucking World Series.
Did he do two? I thought he only did
one.
He did one.
I don't know.
Stupidity!
Yeah, but one feels like two. Stupidity! Don Larson.
Don Larson.
We're sitting there talking big game pitchers. Only one of them thrown a perfect game in a World Series, and we fucking left him out. And that was the voice of the Yankees. Is that what happened?
Yep.
Stupidity. Buy his book.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. Listen, for me, it's simple. When I'm sitting around with friends, with family, we're at concerts, we're watching the Knicks finally win for the first time in 30 years, we're laughing, we're having a great time, we do it with ice cold Miller Lite. Always have, always will. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.